Today I will be reading Matthew 5:13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
For so many years, I spent a week at camp with children who were in grades 5 and 6. And my role was to lead the campfire in the evening and also to lead a Bible study in the morning. But I was not directing the camp. There were some other people that were actually making all the administrative choices and decisions. Their names were Karen and Carrie, and they did this for so many, many years. And I had the privilege of partnering with them in this week each year, and my wife was with me for almost all of those years, and it was a blessing to be able to serve. Carrie and Karen had many, many sayings that I could quote to you, but one of those was, to the children, they said, leave the camp better than you found it. And what that meant on so many levels for children was that if you dropped some trash on the ground, pick it up. What it also meant is that if you saw trash on the ground that you didn't drop, pick it up. You want to leave this place looking better than you found it, is what they said over and over and over again. And this is consistent with a message from Bill Nye, the science guy, who said, to leave the world better than you found it, sometimes you have to pick up other people's trash. That is not our nature, is it? To pick up other people's trash. But all this week, I've been doing that since I read Bill Nye's words. I've been picking up trash in elevators, in hospitals, and other places, and trying to make things a little bit better than what I found it. Now, Carrie and Karen's words were great for children, but they're also great for adults. So whether it's your place of employment, whether it's your family, or some place that you go to shop, like say for instance Kohl's, we should leave places better than we found them. And what Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 5 is not the picking up of trash. No, he talks about us being salt and light in the world. And so he says in verse 13 of chapter 5, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. One of the things that we know that Jesus was communicating is that salt is a preservative. It preserves the world. So we're to stay salty. We're to remain salty in our relationships with other people. How do we know that we're being salty? That's a good question for us to reflect on today. It has to do with our conversation, how it is that we talk to others. It says in Colossians chapter 4, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And so one of the things that we do to demonstrate the saltiness of the kingdom is in the way that we speak to other people. One of the key elements in our speaking to other people is the issue of forgiveness. That we forgive others when they've wronged us and that we hurt, but we tell God we forgive this individual and then we tell the person who's hurt us we forgive them. And when we do that, we preserve relationships. That's our salt. It's been said that the reason a dog has so many friends, so many more friends than people, is because a dog wags his tail instead of his tongue. So it's a reminder to you and to me to not complain, to not rant, to not gossip about other people. It was Mother Teresa who once noted that words which do not give the light of Christ increase the darkness. One of the things that I find most disturbing in my life is to be on social media and to see people who are believers using profanities. There's no room for that in the Christian life. That should be eliminated because it's not salty conversation. We're supposed to be able to answer everyone with the love of God. And you know what that means, dear friends? It means that we're supposed to be different. It means that people are supposed to look at us and say, there's something different about her. There's something different about him. I wonder what it is that causes that individual to speak and communicate the way that they do. If George Henry from the Gideons were here this morning, one of the things that he would be talking to us about is our need to give away the Bible, to give copies of the Bible to people who do not have it. And that's something that we can do in our lives at all times, is to give God's word to other individuals. The Bible reminds us that we're to internalize the word of God so that we do not sin. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, Psalm 119, verse 11. So sharing God's word with other people is a salty way to talk. I want to encourage you, if you've not read 1 John lately, to pull that book out and to notice how often God is communicating the word love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loveth is born of God and knoweth God. There's so much in the Bible about love, and one of the most salty ways that you can speak to another person is to simply say, God loves you, and so do I. Now, that's not so hard, is it? But that's a salty way to speak. Another salty thing that you can do today, and it won't be hard for you to remember this because of all the salt that he's distributed, is to stop and say thanks to Luke for how hard he worked this morning to get this place ready for us to come into. I mean, that was really a great effort by him today, and we can thank him. I wonder what it would be like for Luke if 20 or 30 people walked up to him today and shook his hand and said, thank you. That's saltiness. And that's what we can do for one another. Jesus continues this saying in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14 by saying, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Now, what the Lord is telling you and me is that there are to not be any secret Christians. We're to be visible, observable witnesses of the Lord. And then the Lord goes on to say something that is fairly obvious, but he says it anyway because we need to hear it. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in this house. Everyone, that's a big word. Everyone benefits from the light that we shine. You know, on foggy days, I drive with my headlights on. Perhaps you do too. And what I've noticed is it doesn't help me see any better. But what it does do is it helps people to see me. And that's what we do with our good deeds. Our good deeds are light to the world, to bring attention to our God. Your headlights are on when you're serving the Lord. Your high beams are on when you're serving the Lord in a way that's not on your schedule. It's something that happened spontaneously. And seeing your deeds will make others want to praise God. And so in verse 16, Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, this is the very first time in Matthew's gospel where we see the expression, your Father in heaven. And what it reminds us of is that God is Father and that God is glorified in heaven by what we do. It also reminds us that the Lord sees all from his perspective. He sees everything that we do. And so that means that our hearts need to be properly motivated. Light shining is not to bring glory to ourselves. It's to bring glory unto God. When people see our good needs, it should be God who receives the credit for everything that we do. It was D.L. Moody who once said, "We are told to let our light shine, and if it does, we won't need to tell anybody it does." He said, "Lighthouses don't fire cannons to call attention to their shining. They just shine." So when we receive appreciation for what we do for others, we can direct that unto God. We can say, "God led me to do this. God put me in this position. God gifted me in this way." And what are some good deeds that we can do today? Well, we can visit someone in a hospital or a retirement home. We can send a card or place a phone call to someone who is lonely, to someone who couldn't be here at worship today. Wouldn't that be wonderful if a number of our people who could not make it today for various reasons received telephone calls from people who did? And those were calls to just say, "How are you? We missed you. We hope to see you next Sunday." We also can pray with someone who's going through a difficult time. We can spend quality time with other individuals and listen to the needs that are on their hearts. We also can provide help to people when they're working on something that's maybe a little bit too much for them. When our children were young, I bought a swing set. And I remember unpacking it in the backyard and looking at all of this metal and all of this stuff and saying, "Am I going to be able to get this together?" And within just a few moments, the guy from across the street walked into my backyard. His name was Jim, and he began to help me. And we had that thing put together in about a half hour. And you know what? I didn't recruit him. He just showed up on his own. It was as if God put it on Jim's list to come and help me that day. So I gave thanks to God, and I gave thanks to Jim. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we should live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So what that means is that we're to do good deeds around people who are not yet believers, in the hopes that it will draw their attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. So one of the most important ways we can be salt and light is to be that around people who do not yet know the Lord. It was a Monday evening at the Dupree House, which is a senior living facility center here in Cincinnati. They were eating dinner, and hamburgers were on the menu. There was a lady by the name of Patty who was eating her hamburger, and then she began to choke. She couldn't breathe. She was dying. But another resident in that retirement home came to her rescue. And you know what he did? He did the Heimlich maneuver. He saved her life. A few minutes later, she was breathing. She was well. She was no longer choking, no longer struggling for her life. And you know what's interesting about that rescue is that the person who rescued her was Dr. Henry Heimlich. At the time, he was 96 years old. And what Patty said to Dr. Heimlich was this: "God put me in the seat next to you." And you know what that reminds me of this day? Is that God puts us in positions where we can do good deeds for other people, where we can be salt and we can be light. It is no coincidence when you're in a position to help another person. And we never retire from being ready to save lives, spiritually speaking, through the Word of God. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We might be surprised at the opportunities to be salt and light, but God isn't. Because God prepared us, and God prepared the works, and God prepared the circumstances for us to serve him, to be salt and light. He's already figured it out. So God should receive the glory for every single good deed that we do. So today God's message to us is this: let's leave this world better than we found it. May we pray. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be salt and light in this world. We thank you for your grace, your guidance, and your direction. And we ask, O Lord, that you would help us to see the world that you've created and how we might be salt and light in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 382, stanzas 1, 2, and 4, Be Thou My Vision. May we stand.